Welcome to Unchange, the Powerful Women series, where we explore the stories of women who are building legacies, changing systems, and doing it all with integrity. Today, I'm speaking with Carmel Pineke, a woman who didn't set out to be a tech entrepreneur, but saw a problem and built a solution. Starting a career in the FMCG sector by pure chance, Carmel eventually went on to launch eRoute to Market, a business intelligence platform that is revolutionizing how consumer brands understand where their products are actually sold and what that means for growth. From launching Lipton Iced Tea in South Africa to building real-time analytics dashboards that help township stores thrive, Carmel is living proof that entrepreneurship is about grit, insight, and doing the hard yards. Welcome in the studio, Carmel.
Thank you, Pietra.
Please introduce yourself and tell my listeners what you're currently doing.
I'm still managing the driving force behind eRoute to Market, which we launched in 2009. So that is keeping me fairly focused.
I always like to start with a bit of an origin story. If you think back to being a child, what was your very first dream job?
Would you believe me if I told you a school teacher?
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to have two kids and I was going to have lots of dogs.
And how's that going?
Yes, the dogs are fine.
Okay, so how did you actually land up in the position that you're currently in? What happened?
You mentioned earlier that I got my slot into the FMCG industry purely by chance. And when I tell you that's the truth, it's the God's honest truth. I was working with the most amazing lady. I was working in the automotive industry and I had the most amazing lady who was my recruitment agent. And she called me up one day and she said, I've got the perfect job for you. And I said to her, Estelle, I'm not really in the market for a job because I really did love my job. And she said, no, I need you to meet this executive at Smolin. Please send me your updated CV, which I duly did. He saw my CV. He was a bit underwhelmed because I knew nothing about the FMCG industry. I was like, why would I apply for a senior position in the FMCG industry when I know nothing about it? She eventually bullied us to just have a cup of coffee. And I went through a very rigorous recruitment process. The person that I was replacing really supported me. She paid it forward. She spent weekends with me explaining the industry. I got to put together what I think to this day was an incredible presentation and I landed the job. So that was me in Smolin launching new brands. And I walked into a team that was literally launching Lipton Iced Tea in this country. And it was all the experiential brand building. So it was getting parasols placed. It was getting the product listed on menu. It was getting people to sample. It was running competitions. It was doing fun mixes with product. Just a whole lot of real brand awareness. And every Friday in those days, Unilever still owned Lipton Iced Tea. But every Friday, I had a meeting with Unilever to explain how sales performance was going. And it was an absolute fly by the seat of our pants. You know, how many stores have sold how many cases of Lipton Iced Tea? And we honestly didn't know. So I was by chance explaining this challenge to a friend of mine one day, and he was a techie. And he said, Carmel, let's work together on this. And I spec'd the application. His team developed it. We had a one-year proof of concept with the Ceres Beverage Company because in that year, Lipton Iced Tea moved over to being manufactured by Ceres, what was then the Ceres Beverage Company. One-year proof of concept, and 17 years down the line, they're still our client under their new face, Pioneer Foods. But yeah, and then from there, it's just really been word of mouth.
Mm. So you were at Smolin at the time.
Yes.
And eventually ended up being the CEO for eRoute to Market.
Yes, yes, yes.
So how did that happen? How did that transition happen? And how did you prepare yourself for that?
Oh, my gosh. So the man I was dating at the time was an entrepreneur. So he just pushed and pushed and pushed and said, you've got to do this. Don't be silly. And I was petrified because Smolin was, mm-hmm. is a really amazing business, really well respected in our industry. And he was going on a business trip to Dubai. He was going for 6 weeks. And he said, I'm leaving tonight. When I get back, your resignation must be in. You must be serving your last month's notice. And I was like, oh, my goodness. And I did. And I told Smolin exactly what I was doing. So, you know, they were kind of like, could you stay on just for 3 months? You can keep doing what you got to do for your business, but just like give us a little bit of time. And that's how that transition happened. About a year and a half later, the CEO and I had a chat, and he raised his eyebrows at me, and he said to me, why didn't you bring this idea to our business? I was, sorry, Dave, I wasn't working in the tech department. I was working in kind of sales. So yeah, it wasn't an unpleasant. I mean, I still have much respect for the business, and I keep in contact with them. So it definitely wasn't a mean transition, or it wasn't. It was difficult for me to break ties. Although I suppose I never did cut the umbilical cord.
So it's interesting to me that there's two like pivotal people who really supported you and helped you to get to the top. Almost, you know, if you think about the person who believed in you at Smullen. Or helped you to get that position, and then the person you were dating at the time who then pushed you and said you can do this, and they believed in you. And what a difference did that make? Actually, other people believing in you.
It was quite frightening, actually. So even joining Smullen, I was absolutely petrified because I didn't want to fail. So I read and learned. I mean, in those days, you still printed documents. You didn't have anything available on your phone so easily. I used to print wads of paper. And while I was cooking at night, reaming through, you know, just going through papers and learning about the industry and learning who does what and who owns what, because I just felt like I was on my back foot. Mm-hmm. You can't lead a team if your knowledge base is less than theirs, right? That for me was a big thing. And then I confronted that again, starting a tech business. I've never written a line of code in my life. I guess I'm a salesperson, maybe a cheeky one, but I prefer the people engagement. And again, I had to face the, how can you lead a team when you can't do the job yourself? Mm-hmm. And both of those circumstances, I think, gave me wisdom that I can probably see now as a gray and grumpy person, that you don't have to be able to do the job to know how it needs to be done well. Mm-hmm. And you can still guide that process. So they were both pivotal in throwing me in the deep end and petrifying the daylights out of me. But the upside was that I had to realize that you can't do all things. No man is an island, and no woman either.
It sounds like you've got this intense quench or thirst for knowledge, you know, and wanting to learn. And how has that helped you in the past?
Oh, my gosh. I think that's the reason I joke and say this is the longest I've ever kept a job, because I'm 18 years in. They can't really fire me yet. But the reason I'm completely engaged is because I learn all the time, all day, every day. Products change, route to market changes, manufacturers change, consumer wants and needs change. So it really has helped. It really has helped that I want to understand. I want to know what's happening in the rest of the world, what's happening in other third world markets. What can we apply here? What can we learn? What is the first world doing? How similar are those buying behaviors to ours? Because we really are a hodgepodge of both. So, you know, what's best practice in first and third worlds? And what does it look like in our life? And what can we do with that? And I think it's given me insight answer your question. I think it's given me insight, which has facilitated the decisions I've made around what we develop next. Mm-hmm. Because I've had to learn, you know, what is understand the environment and then find a solution.
Yeah. So what is the biggest barriers you've had to face in this whole journey of learning, and how did you overcome them?
I think probably my biggest barrier has been myself. And it's been a lack of confidence. To this day, when I show people, so we've now got three front-end applications, mobile applications, and we're now working with AI. And to this day, when somebody goes, oh my gosh, that's amazing, I'm blown away every time. So I hope I never lose that, actually, because it's a genuine appreciation then for what we do. But that has been a stumbling block for me, because it's meant that I potentially haven't gone after the big fish as soon as I should have. Or maybe I needed more experience and only now we can really go after the big, big fish.
Yeah.
I'll tell you why I think it was a stumbling block. There was there is a man who started a similar business. We were first to market. So that was just like, wow. And in fact, our very first client paid us for 3 years of exclusivity in their categories. So we could talk to anybody else if they had different categories, but not in their categories. There's a man in the industry who started a similar business about a year after me, but he started it in Africa. He is South African, started it up there, and then came back here. And he subsequently sold his business for an insane amount of money. And I just realized that that's the difference between a man's confidence. They don't have that doubt thing. They just go for the target. They don't deviate left or right. Whereas I have sat on a rock every now and again and thought, am I doing the right thing? Is this right? Are we really solving a real world problem? Is this enough? That's why I say the biggest stumbling block has definitely been me.
So what helps you to get over that self-doubt and keep going?
Sometimes I need to sit myself down and have a real chat with myself. You know, first thing in the morning before, you know, as the sun's coming up, it's just to, what is my list of priorities for the day? What are the big rock issues that, or what are the big clients I need to land in the next month or the next quarter? You know, where do I want to go? And what do I need to do today? What small step do I need to do today to bring me one step closer to that? And I think it's taking those moments of self-talk, just stopping with a blank piece of paper. All my notes are in here. Blank piece of paper and just jotting down what's important. How am I going to get there? What I need to do? I think that helps me tremendously. Doesn't mean I stop feeling the lack of confidence, but it creates structure for me. Mm. So I've got a little roadmap and then I can go.
Yeah, so structure is very important for you.
Has to be.
To know where to go next and to organize your thoughts.
Yes, otherwise I'll be on the beach, just sunning myself.
Who doesn't want to be on the beach? Oh. Did you ever feel that you needed to prove yourself more than others?
Oh my gosh, yes. Oh my gosh, yes. Maybe my view is biased because I work in a very male-dominated environment. And I know that there are very powerful women out there who say that that can work in your favor. I'm not sure I've gotten that right, because I definitely have felt that, and particularly coming from a technical space, you have to be able to prove that you could speak their language, to prove your technical competence, to prove that whatever mm. has been developed, you know, in the back room behind you is going to deliver the goods. So it has. But I think the thing that has stood in our favor is that, I suppose, in any industry, ours is the same. People move from supplier to supplier. And if people have had good service from us with one employer, when they move to the next, they phone us and say, you know, can we do it?
Stay. Yeah.
And it's generally been men that we've engaged with. In fact, I'd say 9 times out of 10, it's been men that we've engaged with. And then when they've moved, they've gone, Carmel, can you help? So, it's almost, once you prove that you can, you have maybe a different kind of loyalty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It sounds like this business is very sort of relationship-based. If you've built a good relationship, then people will keep using your business. So how important has that been to, like, network and build relationships?
It's been crucial. Like, our product mm-hmm. has to stand the test of time. And it's got to be stable. It can never fall over. You know, all of those things that actually should be a bare minimum in a software or a software as a service or software as a platform environment. The relationships will open the doors. Mm-hmm. I've just been on a conference Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday with one of the petroleum companies, and all of the suppliers and all of the route to market partners were there. And it was just the going to go and greet somebody you know, and in walking into that group going, oh, you must meet so-and-so. And it's having that warmth. That's where it's been good to be a woman, that you can walk in and hug somebody, hello, and just like be genuinely pleased to see them, immediately introducing you. You must come and see so-and-so. You know, meet our new MD. It's like, oh, this is great. Hi, I'm so embarrassed that I haven't met you yet. So the relationship thing has definitely worked.
Yeah, so I get a lot of questions from my coaching clients about how do I build my network and how do I do networking and how do I break into a new market. So do you have any tips around how to do that?
It's so interesting you ask me that question right now, because that's one of the little rocks I'm sitting on. And you know, you do it exactly the same way you did the first time. You pick up the phone and you say, can I come and have a cup of coffee with you? I don't want to sell you anything. I actually just want to ask you some questions. Mm-hmm. I would like you to help me understand the industry a bit better, please. And if it's relevant, I'd like to see if our services can help you.
Yeah. I sort of think that the best way to network or to build a network is through curiosity.
Mm.
Is to just be 100% curious about the business, about how they made it work for them, what they did to be successful, you know, and just to see if anything aligns in
100%.
That.
Yeah. Yeah. Because if you, to that point exactly, if you're approaching it with the curiosity, as you mentioned, then you're getting more answers than questions, and you will walk away from that meeting knowing whether this channel is actually going to work for you or not.
Yeah.
Not you as a person, your service offering. Because if you've asked enough questions of the first person you encounter, they'll tell you enough for you to know.
Okay. So I want to ask you, you went from a senior leadership position in an established company to running your own company. Okay, so from being in the leadership team to being the leader. So how did you make that happen? I mean, what type of leader are you, firstly?
I prefer a collaborative leadership style. I guess actually I'm a bit of a mixed bag because I don't believe I'm the knower of all things. I do not have the answers to all questions, and I firmly believe the more brains you throw at a problem, the better your solution is going to be. I am driven for client delight, though. So we can collaborate all we like. If we are not delighting the client, the collaboration stops because without them, we don't exist.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something, and over the years, that has served me well and it's not served me well because people, so you're a woman, and oftentimes people that don't know you will then think, when you start engaging, when they start the employment journey, they're like, oh, she's quite relaxed. And it's almost a fundamental human failing that, okay, I see she's quite relaxed, so I'll just... And the crazy thing is, as a woman, you also feel it intuitively. And then the minute I feel something's off, then I start checking outcomes. I'm like, ah, we've got a problem here. And then I get fiercely cheeky, which is so unnecessary. I get downright savage. And I guess I was probably a harder leader at Smollan, because it's an incredibly hard business. But they drive excellence. You can breathe. And you can have excellence, and those are the only two things that occupy your day. Also, client delight, and they want performance, the end. And then when I transitioned into my business, I think I've kept a lot of that. And I was also very fortunate at Smollan in that, so I reported into a man who reported directly into, in those days, Doug Smollan. And he gave me carte blanche. He said to me, Carmel, here's the mandate. This is the earnings that you need to achieve. This is, you know, the turnover I would recommend to get that. This is where you're going. If, you have to excuse my turn of phrase, but this is literally what he said. He said, if the shit hits the fan, phone me. Otherwise, just go and get it. So that was really good for me. He just left me alone. I was responsible and accountable.
Yeah.
So it was quite easy then for me to migrate over.
Another thing that I see a lot of women grappling with as they go up the leadership chain to higher and higher levels is how do I do that but still maintain my own sense of self and my own sense of authority and integrity, you know, because it's almost like in some companies you have to mold yourself to that company and become like a representative of that company to get anywhere. So how do you go up the leadership ladder while still being true to yourself?
And maintaining your femininity.
Yeah, and that as well.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah. You've just shaken me up with that thinking because as much as I absolutely loved where I was, because it was such a hard male-dominated world, I was expected to be a very hard leader in terms of driving outcomes, driving performance. And actually, if I have to really dig deep, I could have wandered over to the IT guys. I knew them to take my idea to Smollan. I actually was being tested at exactly that point in time. My line manager had changed, and I was being tested on exactly the points you make. And I remember driving home one day, talking to myself out loud, because I do that, and saying to myself, because I'd lost my temper, and I got into my car on the way home, and I said, who the hell are you? Who are you becoming? And I didn't like it. And as much as he was only one aspect of my life, I was clearly starting to face that very thing. And I've actually never thought about that before. Because for me, the next thing was just moving into getting Eruta Market off the ground. And then that guy moved into another portfolio and somebody else came in who was like quite relaxed with me and said, like, Carmel, we just need you to stick around for another 3 months. We don't. And then it was three. I had an 11-month notice period by the end of it. But I was coming into the office, but doing what I needed to get Eruta Market going. And it was everybody was on board with it. But I hadn't actually thought about that. I was being tested on that very thing to maintain my integrity. I'm a woman.
Mm.
And he was challenging exactly that.
Yeah.
Just by pushing me. I mean, he wasn't doing anything untoward, but just by pushing me to display more masculine attributes. Yeah.
Yeah,
I've never thought about it.
I can totally identify with that. I mean, I also come from a very male-dominated industry.
You do, yeah.
But I'm just wondering, is it easier now that you run your own company to stay true to your own values than it was being in a different company where other sort of behaviors might have been expected from you?
In many ways it is, because I can wake up and face the day true to me, true to my own drive and what I expect of myself, I expect of others, and the way we behave. We are not rude to anybody. We do not treat anybody with disrespect. You know, there's just some, it's like a corporate culture, even though we're not a corporate. You know, if somebody's taking strain and you've got a little bit of wriggle room, step in and help. Mm-hmm. I'll do it. We all do it.
Yeah.
So those kinds of things are much easier. It's just, and now I work with lots of men, right, in my own environment, because most techies are men. And every now and again, I do think I need a male partner just to, you know, and I've asked nicely once and I've asked nicely twice and promise you by the third time I am going to go nuclear, but that man voice, that man persona almost needs to step in and say, oh, if you don't do it now, she's going to blow.
I think we develop our own man voice. After a while, people know it's coming now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I almost think like I need a smart one who goes, oh. I highly recommend you pull an all-nighter tonight, because if it's not available, if it's not live tomorrow, you're going to die.
Mm. So has there ever been a situation where you had to walk away?
Yeah, there has been. So thank goodness. So I still work with the company, but I don't work with the individuals. So individuals, you know, funny how things always pan out. Gosh, years ago, probably in year two or year three of being live, two individuals from a company wanted to meet me offsite for coffee. Mm, I like on-site meetings, your office or my office. Anyway, off we go for coffee. They were thinking that maybe they could start like something similar to what we'd done, slightly different, but just the three of us in partnership. Would I be prepared to do it? It's like, no, I can't. It's just unethical. Mm. You know, you're taking a salary from this company and then you're asking me to help you develop something where you're potentially going to compete with this company. That's not great.
Mm.
So no, yeah. I did. I walked away from that.
Yeah. And what are the sort of warning signs for you? What does that feel like when you know this is not aligned to who I am?
When something's a secret,
It's
never meant to be. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If we've developed things specifically for food and beverage manufacturers where we've kind of gone, this is our service offering. They've gone like, yeah, but can you do this for us? Like, you want your very own one? Yes. Like, that it must look like this? Yes. No problem. So then it's a company decision. But if two people from within the company want to meet me offsite and it's a quiet conversation and can we do this? It's like, no. See, with a minute, something's a secret.
And it just feels wrong.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you had to look back at that young woman who was offered that first position at Smullen and wasn't sure about whether she should jump into this job or not, what would you tell that woman about ambition and success?
I would tell her to trust the fact that she got the job based on her ability and her attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And she should believe in that to actually let that guide her wherever she goes next. She's not an idiot. She's not incompetent. She actually just needs to stop and believe.
Mm-hmm.
And don't be afraid of a man's big voice. If what you're saying makes more sense, look him straight in the eye and say what you need to say without being rude. I don't mean be obnoxious, but don't be intimidated by anybody, I guess. That's what I actually mean. Don't be intimidated just because somebody's bigger, more powerful, you know?
Yeah. So somebody saw that spark in you. They saw a spark and they went, I'm going to take a chance on this person.
He did, you know.
And it's like, just believe that that's true. And start believing in yourself. I mean, it's probably the biggest thing that I see with female leaders is that we just don't believe in ourselves. We've got all the qualifications and all of the credentials, and we've done so much work. And then it's just, I shouldn't say just, because it's not a just. If we could just believe in ourselves and step into the spotlight, I think so many things would be possible.
How do you do that? So it's exactly that. I am so aware and I berate myself, Petra. I berate myself. I'm like, for heaven's sake, what is wrong with you? What on earth, you know, just go. Just go massive or give up. Don't dilly-dally. So what is it that stops us?
Are you asking me?
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, it's I think we think that we need to know more.
Mm.
We need to know more to be able to
prove our worth.
To do it.
Yeah.
And I think we have to have a beginner mindset, like a experimentational mindset. Just try it. Just jump and see what happens. You know, what's the worst that can happen?
Exactly.
Either you're going to fail and learn or you're going to succeed.
Fly and learn.
Exactly. So just do it. You know, just jump and just try.
It's true.
Yeah. So having now been a leader, for how long have you been the CEO now for?
2008, 2009, we went live. We had a one-year proof of concept. So what does that take me to? Let's say 17 years. We went live in 2009.
What have you learned about leadership?
That it is not a one-size-fits-all. I believe you have to keep your core values and your core self in check. In place. And I think to be an authentic leader, the person you are at home must be the person you are at work. And I don't mean, for me, the person with no makeup and threatening to shave my head bald just now. You know, my characteristics must be the same. If at home I'm a neat freak, and in the office I'm going to be a neat freak. If at home, you know, just in terms of keeping yourself authentic, you can't be two different people, because I think others can pick up on that, and then mistrust comes in and all sorts of things. So I think you have to be as authentic as possible while keeping your eye on the ball, while being aware of the competitor landscape, while being aware of the fact that you're actually just a mom to a bunch of big adults, when you're actually to a bunch of five-year-olds housed in big adult bodies, when you're actually a five-year-old housed in an adult body too. So you're kind of corralling kids on a playground to try and get them to work together. And I don't mean to sound flippant or disrespectful. I'm just like, I do believe we're all five-year-olds trapped in a huge big body. So, you know, how do you engage with the different personalities and get the personalities to engage with each other for the best?
Mm. I wish we were all five-year-olds, because five is such a good age. In terms of curiosity, you know, you're not afraid when you're 5 years old. You keep asking questions about what's going on.
Why?
I mean, imagine if we all had that mindset. We'd just be curious about each other and want to play together the whole time.
It's true. You're quite right. But I think we maintain the, I don't want to do it like that. I'm tired. I'm not going to bath now. I'm not hungry. I don't eat peas. It was almost like the I don't or I won't from the five-year-old that we bring into our adult selves, you know. Mm. So what are the, you weren't seen or heard because you were the youngest of five kids. So when you come into a working environment, you want to be heard. It's like, okay, all righty. You've got to recognize that and you've got to be gentle with it. But you can't mother everybody. Yeah. But you've just got to be mindful. Yeah. I think you need a degree in psychology.
Probably.
Really. A master's.
What does success look like for you these days?
Petra, I haven't reached the pinnacle of success because I can't yet step away and know that the people that I am pulling through the processes, the ranks with me, that they are secure and confident in themselves, that they can just do what's got to be done. Mm-hmm. So success for me means that the leadership team are confident and capable and enabled. They must be empowered and enabled to make decisions and do, and I've got to trust that they're doing the right thing and they've just got to go.
Let me quickly ask you a question then.
Yeah.
So if you're talking about metrics and in terms of them being empowered and being able to do the work, for how long would you like to be able to step away and leave them alone and still come back to a company standing?
Wow. I'll get so lonely if I leave for too long. I think if one, oh gosh, that's a really tough question. So imagine I could check out for 3 months and only check in once a week, you know, have a 1 hour stand up. How's everybody doing? That would be great, but I really would be lonely.
Yeah.
I don't know that I could check out completely.
But you'd be off having adventures.
This is true. I would find somewhere to go, but it would probably have no cell phone signal, so that would be really sucky. So.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting question because it's like, you know, I'd like to bring the people up the ranks and I'd like to make sure that they're empowered and can run the business when I'm not there. And then the question then is for how long?
No, you know, there's so a bigger question.
So that you can
Are you able to? For me, are you able to?
It's a good question for me because I love going on adventures, you know, so I'm like, for how long must I be able to leave everything go?
Exactly.
And then I can go have an adventure and come back. Everything is still standing.
Yeah, it's very true. I suppose, I mean, fairly, I can't really go on an adventure for longer than a month. My adventures have generally been 2 or 3 weeks. So, you know, that's...
But it's also your own company.
Yeah.
So it's a bit different as well. Yeah. So do you specifically support other women in the business because you know how difficult it is for women? Or do you just support everybody the same?
One of my 2026 things is to get more involved in, I need to figure out where to start, to get women more involved in the tech space, to get women more involved in data analytics, data science. And I have these mind movies. I think I need to get hold of the universities and ask them if I can come and have a chat to their first year students and say, let me just tell you how much fun this is. Mm-hmm. And ladies, please don't think you're incompetent because trust me, when it comes to consumer behavior, you are. The sample size of one, but there are 2,000 of you sitting in this room. You are exactly how the consumer behaves.
Yeah.
So I need to find the way how, and then I need to go and do that. I'm very mindful of the fact that that was one of the things that's also on my, what does success look like? You're empowering others to do better.
Yeah. So what sort of legacy would you like to leave behind if you ever retire?
Guess I'll have to retire at some point. Do you know what? I'd like them to say, she drove us like hell. She expected the best from everybody all the time, but she was fair and she was honest and she gave us back everything we gave her. She matched us one for one.
I like that.
I just want to be fair, do you know?
Yeah. So is there anything, we've sort of come to the end of my list of questions. Is there anything that you would like to talk about that we haven't mentioned yet?
Maybe this is an offline conversation, that if I can ask your advice on how to go and do something as a woman to help other women.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what you're doing is amazing. You're talking to women and you can have an amazing feel for the female leader when you could write a book. You should write a book. I don't have your skill set. So I'd be really interested in, as I say, if it needs to be offline, that's great. Have a conversation with you. This is like, how does one do this? How did you come to this conclusion?
That I need to build up
yes.
as a woman. I think coming from a very male-dominated environment and having gone through the leadership ranks as a woman is, I think you learn, and just having a passion for mentoring and for trying to help other women find their feet, read more and more about it. And then, I mean, the coaching that I do is almost exclusively for women.
It's amazing.
In terms of women who are sort of in the middle to senior level and wanting to step up into even more senior leadership positions. And I think it's just intense curiosity, learning from others. This is why I want to speak to you. I want to know how you did it so that people can listen to this conversation and go, oh, we can also do it then.
Exactly.
You know? And so sharing these conversations, I think that's a good thing. And then just one by one, helping women to step into the spotlight.
Yeah, I'm listening to what you're saying and I'm thinking, if I own a software company and I've never written a line of code, for the love of all things sensible, I can find a way to get other women to see this, understand it and believe it and do the same.
Yes, I totally believe you can.
Hmm.
Thank you so much for joining me in the studio. It's been a wonderful conversation.
Thank you, Petra, for your time and attention and intention. Thank you.